Memorizing. Now, let me tell y'all why I chose this topic, methods of memorizing. Y'all know, and it is no secret, that I am a huge proponent of memorizing the scripture. It is, to me, not only a choice of Christians and the recommendations I make, but I think it's a command of scripture. I really do. And we as a culture have completely lost memorization. I'm going to go on a hobby horse for 1 second. My major is communication, so I study rhetoric. One of the five classic canons of rhetoric was memorization. So if you wanted to learn to be a good speaker, memorization was expected of you from antiquity. Yet now, because of the digital age in which we live, memorization is not appreciated at all. If I want to know what Psalm 138 says, I'm going to get my phone out. If I want to know what Psalm 52 says, I'm going to get my phone out. I really don't have to memorize anything. We have lost as a culture the art and the skill of memorization. Yet it is a spiritual discipline that is one of the most rewarding of all of the Christian walk. But last week, whenever I was meeting with the elders and we were planning out some things for 2018, I was explaining to them some personal methods that I used to memorize, and a couple of them had never heard of this type method before. And it really dawned on me, well, maybe I've been asking y'all to memorize without really teaching y'all to memorize. So what I'd like to do tonight is, it's going to be some Bible, but I'm also going to include some psychology in here about how do you memorize scripture efficiently, okay? So first, let's understand, what does the Bible say about memorizing? If you go to Vine's dictionary and look up memorizing, you won't find it much, but you do find the word meditating. Meditation is a constant aspect of Scripture that you find all the way from Joshua, really throughout the New Testament. And we are to meditate on the Word of God. You remember with me Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not, nor stands not, nor sits not, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The word meditation, it simply means to murmur. So in Hebrew, they would murmur a text. And I think we know really what this means to us, right? When you murmur something, it's like singing something under your breath is probably what we would do more like this. Whenever I was doing dishes this afternoon, for no reason that I know of, I started humming the Charlie Brown Christmas theme. No earthly idea why. But I started murmuring it to myself. I was standing there cleaning my cast irons and seasoning them and just started murmuring to myself. No earthly idea why. I was meditating. That's what meditation is. It's so ingrained in you that it just easily flows outside of you. The Bible has a lot to say about meditation. Now, the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, has a lot to say about meditation. Psalm 119 is an acronym. Meaning that what the author, whoever he was, did was, or whoever they were in this case, they took the various letters of the Hebrew alphabet and then looked at various aspects of the law of the Lord in reference to these letters. I'm going to read just a few of these from Psalm 119. Let's look at verse 9 beginning. Psalm 119 beginning in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Yahweh, teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I delight in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Do you notice, especially in verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts? Look a bit earlier with me to verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart. Verse 16, I will not forget your word. What is the psalmist doing? He is meditating on God's word. Meditation of Scripture is extremely powerful. You'll notice verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, let's think through this in the life of Christ. In Matthew chapter 4, in Luke 4 as well, when Christ is tempted, what does he do? He quotes Scripture. Whenever Satan comes to him in the wilderness and tempts him, Christ responds by quoting Scripture. Why did he do that? because he had spent adequate time meditating on the Word. When we meditate on God's Word, it can be our spiritual sword, it can be our spiritual armor, and it can give us strength in ways that we can never know. We must meditate. And so then I would likewise urge us, we are to meditate. And this is where memorization aids us in completing this command. Look at a couple other verses with me in Psalm 119. Look with me, for example, in Psalm 20, in verse 27. Psalm 119, verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. Do you see a connection there between understanding and meditation? Grayson brought out this morning a very key difference between hearing and understanding. You can read the Bible all you want, but unless you understand it, it means diddly. Here, the way that we are to understand is through meditation. A bit later with me in Psalm 119, go with me to verse 99. Again, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Why is he able to stand higher than his teachers? Because he has meditated. So we are to meditate. We are to meditate on God's Word. And as we murmur God's Word, as we meditate God's Word, I would argue memorization helps us in accomplishing this command from God. But Ryan, I can't memorize like you can. I just can't do it. I've tried time and time again, and you just have a natural knack for it. You know, you probably just read a passage once, and don't you have photographic memory? I'm going to make a tangent real quick that's away from Scripture. I have been accused of having a photographic memory more times I can even count. There is no such psychological concept as a photographic memory. If you ask any memory psychologist, a photographic memory is a utter load of nonsense. There's no such thing as a photographic memory. There is certainly types of sonographic memories, and there's even lived memories, but types of just a photographic memory, it's nonsense. Rather, I'm going to get a bit psychological here for a bit. There are people that have more of a skill set for memorizing certain types of information. Yes, I am a big proponent of memorization. And it may seem like it comes easy to me, but brethren, I promise you it's not because I have a photographic memory. Far from it. It takes me a long time to memorize. A long time. Just like you remember multiplication tables as a kid, you don't pick those up on the first try. Yet I to this day know that 8 times 8 is 64. I know that 7 times 7 is 49 because I put the time in as a kid. And right, I could easily say, for example, that I don't know, 8 times 9 is 75. It's not, 72. You know, we should be able to get these, right? It's because you put the time in. So what I would like to do is I'm going to go away from the Bible for a little bit, and I would just like to teach y'all some methods that have helped me in my own memorization of Scripture, all right? Lest you forget these, you may want to write some of these down, okay? So let me teach y'all the first one, spaced repetition. If I had to teach anyone one concept to memorize God's Word, it is spaced repetition. Spaced repetition. Let me explain what this means. When I was at Florida College, one of the most impactful lectures I've ever heard was a guest lecturer. He came for one day, and he was a psychologist, and spoke to us about memory. He's a fascinating gentleman. But he explained how he was probably in his 60s, but even in his 50s, he had learned to juggle, he'd learned instruments, foreign languages, and it was all memory work. And he demonstrated the way that you develop memory is spaced repetition. Okay, so two key words here. Repetition and space. I'm going to start with repetition. If you want to memorize something, you repeat it multiple times. You know, so often, here's what we like to do. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to... Well, I chose a bad one. Y'all should know that one from a song. Verse 121. I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Well, there you go. I'm going to memorize it. I'm going to memorize it. I read it once. 2 days later, I don't even remember what verse 121 said. Well, of course not. No one would. Repeat it. Memory requires repetition. And we understand this in every facet of life, right? We have to repeat it. The second key word, and this is the important one, is spaced repetition. Spaced repetition. If you want to memorize something, don't sit down for an hour period and try to memorize James 1. Choose 5 minutes today, space it out a day, maybe two, come back to it. Go away, come back to it again, go away, come back to it again. By time 6 or 7, you're going to be getting it right out. Getting it right out. Spaced repetition. Kirby, when I was demonstrating this to the elders last week, he said, well, of course, that makes total sense. With his band kids, he would demonstrate to them and tell them, don't tell me that you came to class and yesterday spent 2 hours practicing. What I want you to do is I want you to spend 15 minutes a day practicing. And spend 15 minutes a day. After a while, you're going to memorize it. If I sit down to memorize a piano piece, I can memorize probably 5-10 minute piano pieces. It's not by sitting down for a day and memorizing it. It's by taking a little bit here, going back to it a couple days later, getting a bit here, going back a little bit, getting a bit here. We have to space it out. Spaced repetition. Someone demonstrated this, James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. We'll just stop there. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. Let's say that I wanted to memorize James 1, verse 2. Now, Grayson and I are working on memorizing as much of James as we can together. So let's say Grayson and I want to memorize James 1, 2 together. Using the tactic of spaced repetition, what do? We sit down for one day, say it 50 times, and expect to have it for the rest of our lives, right? No, of course not. What we do is, count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. Right? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. So I'm starting to murmur. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. And then I'm going to completely go away from it for the rest of the day. Completely go away from it the rest of the day. Maybe before I go to bed, I try to recite it back to myself. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you... Count it all joy, my brothers, when you... Okay, maybe I forgot, so I need to go back. Fall, that's right. So count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. And then I'm going to put it away. And then the next day, I'm going to come back to it a bit later. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various... Okay, I got this far. So I'm going to come back again. Okay, count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. That's it. So count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. And then the next day, I'm going to come back to it. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. Then I'm going to put it away. 2 days later, I'm going to come back to it. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. And then I may even put it away for as much as a week. I'm not even going to look at it for a week. I am completely going to put it out of mind. And then I'm going to come back to it. I'm going to space it out. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. So the key with this one is spaced repetition. And here's the paradox. Really, if you want to memorize it, you need to forget it. And this is the part of memory that I don't think we give enough credence to. Is if you really want to memorize something, the key is you have to forget it. Now, this is where I'm going to get a bit neuropsychological for a second. Whenever you think about the physiological makeup of memory, memory is essentially connected neurons. So we, of course, have millions upon millions of neurons. And what memory does is it connects neurons together. Whenever you first learn a skill, it's going to provide an initial connection to those neurons, a weak connection. Then what you have to do is if you space it out a little bit, it's going to reconnect it again. You space it out a little bit more, it's going to reconnect it again. And then as you keep cementing it in time after time after time, those neurons are going to be so cemented together that it's going to be like second nature by the time you're done with it. So that it's counted all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. Your brain then has been able to take in this information and it's been able to space it out and put these neurons together to where you've been able to memorize God's word in a very easy fashion. So really, this method works with anything even beyond scripture. If you want to memorize historical dates, if you want to understand memorize multiplication tables, if you want to memorize the U.S. presidents, if you want to memorize scripture, you want to memorize songs, you want to memorize 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Spaced repetition. Spaced repetition. Forget it. Come back to it. Spaced repetition. Okay? My guess is for some of you who tried to memorize Psalm 1 and didn't succeed with this, first of all, let me say, I'm going to make a tangential comment. I appreciate so much the efforts you made. I know some of you struggled so much to even get that first verse down. Blessed is the man who crawls not in the counsel. No, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. And I know for some of you it was really difficult. I appreciate so much you trying. But maybe now try it a different way. Rather than, you know, getting frustrated with yourself for spending an hour at a time going over it and then not memorizing anything, try to get one little section, completely forget about it the rest of the day, and then come back to it and try to do it again. And then completely give it a little bit of space, come back and do it again. And then you will be amazed after a couple of weeks how much that has developed to where you've been able to memorize Scripture. So number one, spaced repetition. Number two, make connections. Make connections. This is another critical one. Not as critical as spaced repetition, but it's like as critical. Make connections. Let me explain this, what memory scientists call the Baker's Paradox. And if you look into psychology, there's whole disciplines that deal with memory. It's a fascinating realm. Still so much to discover. But it's called the Baker's Paradox. So let me give you an example. Over Christmas break, I was able to see my uncle. He happens to be a baker. And so we had a great conversation, and he told me about, you know, some of the recent breads he'd been making, how busy the holiday season was, and, you know, just had a really good conversation about that. Versus my second grade teacher, Miss Baker, she was really the first one to teach me how to divide. She was a great teacher. If I were to come back to you and ask you 3 days later, what's my uncle's profession? You'd probably remember, yeah, he's a baker. Because you remember, you talked about bread, and you talked about the holiday rush, and yeah, your uncle's probably a baker. Okay, what's the name of my second grade teacher? Oh, I'm not good with names. No one's good with names. Like, some people say, yeah, I'm good with names, and some people say I'm bad with names. It's just because you don't know how to be good at names. It's not a natural skill you learn. Rather, what you have to do is you make connections. You make connections. So whenever I tell you that my uncle, he's a baker, you in your mind, and my uncle's not a baker, I wish he would, but he's not. If you have in your mind a baker, you of course naturally make a connection, right? You probably think of I'll tell you what I think of at least when I think of a baker. You know, some bigger fella in a big white chef suit wearing the big hat, and he's pulling, you know, warm bread out of the oven, and you can just smell the aromas. And, you know, he has the pizza wheel bringing the bread out. That's what I think of with a baker. I've made a connection. Now, as artificial as that persona of a baker may be, I've still at least made a connection between what my uncle does and than what you think of as a baker. Versus I tell you, my second grade teacher, Miss Baker, that wasn't even her name, okay? What connections do you make there? Probably none. Probably none. It is going to go in one ear, out the other. Let me illustrate it to you this way as well. How many times have you been at the airport? Well, Jessica and I have flown a lot over the last few years. And you're looking up at the screen to figure out where your gate is and trying to figure out what time it's going to be. You look up to see what the gate number is. I'm at C13. You turn around. I'm at B42. No. I'm at C13. Then you turn around and go again. I'm at C something. Then you go back for a third time. I don't even remember. Well, I'm at C13. Why? What connection does C13 have to any of us? It is just a random letter. It's a random number. It's meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless. So if you want to memorize something, what you need to do is you need to make connections. Now, a way that you can do this, and this is just one way, is it's called memory palaces. This is actually an ancient Greek method that is still really interesting today. There's actually memory competitions. These guys are crazy. You can go on YouTube and watch some of these, but literally, they will put a deck of cards in front of somebody, give him 2 minutes to memorize it. They'll then be able to memorize the order of that deck. It's crazy. I once saw a guy memorize, I think, 6 decks, the order of those cards, in 10 minutes. Crazy. Whenever you talk to people like this, it's like, whoa, they must have superhuman intelligence. What's interesting, though, is most memory competitors, they're actually not very smart people. They're just really good at memory. Well, what they do is they make connections. So here's the Memory Palace. The Memory Palace. There was an ancient Greek, an ancient Grecian, who was at a great party. And there was all of the upper echelons of this city there. Some of the details of the story are unknown. And as he was at the party, he had stepped outside for a minute because he'd gotten a bit warm. And as he stepped outside, the building collapsed in on itself. As he then was the only survivor, all of the relatives and loved ones wanted to know where their loved ones' bodies were. He was able to go in and take them to every single location and demonstrate to them where they were. Hundreds of people, but he knew the place. The basic concept then is, if you connect some random piece of information to a physical place, you're going to be more likely to memorize it. So I'm going to just introduce this. You'll need to go online and do more reading or talk to me about memory palaces. I can give you more information on this. But let me give you an illustration of what this would look like. All right? So space repetition. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. Okay? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. Let's say that I memorize this building as my memory palace. And I'm going to memorize this verse. So count it all joy. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk in the back door. And right beside me, I'm going to have a big deck of cards that I need to count. Okay? So I'm imagining myself counting those cards. So there's the count. And then joy. Well, then right whenever I finish counting that, then I'm going to see Kirby standing right there, just really smiley, really happy. And then joy. Okay? So I've counted. And then joy. And then if I keep walking a bit further, then I see the men who are standing right there. So then it's counted all joy, my brothers. So then, here's where we are. I've walked all the way in. I've counted my joy, my brothers. But then I'm trying to walk in here and I fall. I fall right down. So count all joy, my brothers, when you fall. And then I walk right in and I just see a big old thing of snakes that I can't stand, temptation to the max. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. That physical scene, you're probably going to remember, right? I walk in, count the cards, talk to Kirby, talk to the gentleman in the back, come in, fall down, and then see a big thing of snakes. I have that right in my head. Because what I've done is I've assigned random pieces of information to a physical place. That's how memory palaces work. There's a learning curve with memory palaces, but out of all memory techniques, they are the most powerful of every memory technique I could ever teach you. Memory palaces. Let me give you another example. Let's say that this year, and this is one of my goals for this congregation, we want to go about memorizing Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. This is just through verse 13. Boy, you start at verse 11. I'll tell y'all, verse 11's hard. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some shepherds and teachers. Woo! How in the world am I going to memorize that list? Well, let me give it another way. Let's say I'm starting up here. Well, I'm going to be walking down, and as I'm walking down, so he gave. Let's say I'm going to start, and I'm going to pick on Kirby again. I'm picturing Kirby right here giving me something. So I'm walking down, and then Kirby's right here giving me something. And then I'll walk down a bit further. So he gave some to be, what's the first thing on the list? Apostles. So right here, I'm going to just put what I think the Apostle Peter would look like. So here you have a fisherman on a ship. So I'm going to pretend that there's a man on a boat right here. Okay? He gave some to be apostles and then some prophets. So then I walk over to the other side of the building and I see a prophet. I'm going to imagine Elijah up on Mount Carmel calling out the false prophets. And then I'm going to go to the back of the building and then I'm going to see an evangelist. So I'll see myself. I'm going to be standing right back there or picture myself right there. And then I'm going to go a bit further and then I'm going to see shepherds and teachers. I see Kirby, Randy, and Randy just huddled right back there in the back. So he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers. I memorized Ephesians 4:11 in about 1 minute. What you do is you make physical connections. Now, I realize that that seems really silly and really artificial, but y'all, memory palaces work. You make a physical connection. So the key, however you want to go about memorizing it, make a connection. Don't just try to just get the information, make a connection. Final number 3, Practice, practice, practice. Memory is much more of a muscle than an organ. If I wanted to try to increase the size or strength of my liver, or my kidney, or my small intestine, you probably laugh a little bit, right? You can't do that. That's God-given. Versus a muscle, well, of course, you have to work it out. If you want to get good leg muscles, you got to work out your legs. If you want to get good biceps, you work out your biceps. If you want a strong chest, you work out your chest. You have to work those muscles. Memory's a muscle. The more that you memorize Scripture, the easier it's going to become. But you have to practice, you have to practice, you have to practice. Why is memory easier for me than it is some people? My memory of information is probably better than most people's. But I'll tell y'all why. Because from the time I was in 5th grade to 12th grade, I did academic team. For fun, I memorized authors, I memorized Nobel Prizes, I memorized Pulitzers, I memorized advanced multiplication tables. I memorized all this information and had a working memory. Then when I got to college, I did speech and debate. I would memorize 10-minute speeches every few weeks just to keep my memory going. I had one competition individual in particular, is my favorite, where I had 2 minutes to get a 5-minute speech ready. Literally had no idea what I was talking about, but 2 minutes to get a 5-minute speech ready. I've worked my memory. I had coaches that developed my memory. They worked with me and helped develop that memory, but you have to practice. If you're still struggling, let me tell you what I do. Note cards. If you ever walk in my office, you will find a set of note cards somewhere. They are cheap, they're flimsy, but they are the best learning tool that you can ever give somebody. Note cards. Note cards are wonderful. I memorized 5 verses of James in one morning. The way I did it, I'm going to get to James 1, verse 1. I had James 1, 1 sitting on my office desk. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop there, okay? James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I went away. I worked on the bulletin for a little bit. I then came back. Okay, James, a servant of God and of Jesus Christ? No, it's James, the servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the 12 tribes, I'm going to stop there, to the 12. So then James, the servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes, which are in the dispersion's greetings. Those spaced repetition, making connections, and practicing memory is feasible, and it's very, very possible. Matt recommended to me last week, there's an app you can get for free, called Verses, V-E-R-S-E-S. They have the King James Version for free, and I think it's $2.99 to pay for additional translations. Get it. If that's going to help you memorize Scripture, get it. But again, what do you have to do? Let's go back through it. Number one, spaced repetition. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect worth, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. I'm not doing that for my own confidence, brethren. I'm showing you. I memorized that in the last couple days. You have to learn how to memorize. You have to do it. You just have to do it. Just do it. All right? What then is the secret to memory? Well, when you look at Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, you get to verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints to the work of serving. Here, again, this may be another place where you need to make some connections. Maybe your memory palace. Maybe your connection is, okay, to the perfecting of the saints to the work of serving. So here, I see P for perfecting, S for serving, B for building, PSB. PSB, kind of like PBS, except a little bit different, so PSB. So it's for the perfecting of the saints, to the work of serving, to the building up of the body of Christ, PSB. So it's for the perfecting of the saints, to the work of serving, to the building up of the body of Christ, PSB. I just made that one up on the spot. It makes no sense, does it? But I at least got it, PSB. Now, brethren, literally in 5 minutes, we have memorized together Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. And he, I'm going to blank it out, what is it? Gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some shepherds and teachers, to the work of PSB, to the perfecting of the saints, to the work of serving, to the building up of the body of Christ. I promise you I did not have Ephesians 4, 11, 12 memorized before we came in here. We did that together in 5 minutes. We did that together. You just have to know how to do it. We have to meditate on the Word. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, immerse yourselves in these things and practice them. The reason ultimately that we need to immerse ourselves in them is for the sake of practicing. So one more time for space repetition. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. In conclusion then, what's the secret to memorizing? What's the secret to memorizing? Isn't there some secret that I keep from everybody so that I can be a better Bible student than everybody else? Isn't there a secret to memorizing I have to make it seem like it's just so easy for me? Let me tell y'all what the secret is. Just start. Just start. Just start. If your goal is to memorize Ephesians 4, 11, and 12 this year, and that is the most that you've ever memorized, just start. If your goal is to memorize Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 by the end of January, we're halfway through, get started. If your goal is to memorize Ephesians 4 by the end of the summer, get started. If your goal is to memorize the whole book of Ephesians by the time the year's over, just get started. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. Brethren, let us meditate together. Get out your songbooks, please. I know that I have seen much more college professors tonight than a lot of times. But that's a part of being an evangelist is teaching. And if you learn these just basic principles of memorizing, they're not secrets, they're not trade secrets, they're just basic principles of memorizing. If you want to learn how to become a good musician, you of course are going to get a teacher who's very trained. And likewise, if you want to become a good memorizer, get help. I promise y'all, I would be more than happy to help y'all with your memory work. If you're, for example, getting to Ephesians 4:13, and it's talking about maturing, it's talking about the fullness of the body, and it's talking about Christ, and you're like, Ryan, I'm really struggling with Ephesians 4:13. Well, let's talk through it. Seriously, let's talk through it, and in 2 minutes, we'll come up with some memory device, we'll come up with a mnemonic device, we'll come up with an alliteration, we'll come up with some crazy memory palace, we'll come up with something in our heads that'll help you memorize it together. Find a memorizing buddy. Grayson's helping me memorize James chapter 1. It keeps me accountable. Because it's difficult to memorize by yourself because you don't really know when you've made mistakes. You really need to have a memorizing partner, someone who can tell you, count it all blessings, my brothers, when you fall into various trials. No, it's not blessings, Ryan. What is it? It's joy. Thank you. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations. There you have someone who can help you. All right? So let's memorize. Let's meditate. That's all I got tonight. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, please don't wait. Please don't wait. Memorizing God's Word is a powerful, powerful tool in warfare against Satan. Satan hates when our minds are filled with God's Word. Satan hates when our minds are thinking about God's holy precepts. Satan hates whenever we're thinking about the precepts of God's holy Word because it's warfare against him. But all the memorization in the world matters none if we never give ourselves in obedience to the teachings of the Bible. We have to give ourselves over to Jesus Christ. We have to be immersed into Him. And we have to give ourselves over in a life of faith to Jesus Christ. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come forward while we stand and sing.